You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Tuesday show, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Players and coaches aren't necessarily fans of playing Thursday night games, but for the Seahawks, it does provide a chance to quickly turn the page from Sunday's loss to the Rams and have another shot at getting back in the win column. So we're going to be fast-tracking our preview here only a couple days until game day for our upcoming NFC West rematch between the Seahawks and Cardinals. We'll be looking at some key matchups to watch and, of course, devising a game plan for Seahawks victory. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. If you're like me and can't wait to see Russ cook each Sunday, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Again, the Seahawks have a short week. Every team has to deal with this once per season where you get 3 days in between games and then you have to suit back up to play this physical game of football. And the Seahawks have a must-win game coming up against the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming in on a major high. It looked like the Buffalo Bills were going to help the Seahawks out 1 week after beating them, and then Kyler Murray decided to throw a Hail Mary, and of course DeAndre Hopkins jumped up and snagged it in the end zone. So the Cardinals get a huge win, improved to 6-3, and right now they are atop the NFC West. They already beat the Seahawks once. I guess the good news, though, Rob, there are some positive injury developments heading into this game if you're a Seahawks fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that there is a lot of actually positive injury updates that we are able to kind of talk about. I mean, you fully expect that the Seahawks are going to have one of their top running backs available in this game. If it's not going to be Chris Carson, then it sounds like Carlos Hyde should be available. Of course, considering the fact that he is coming off of a 2019 season in which he ran for 1,000 yards, then this is the bell cow running back that the Seahawks need to be able to get their offense a little bit more on track. You also have some expectation that you're going to be able to get a few more defenders back for the Seahawks. Of course, Jamal Adams made his triumphant return for Seattle this past weekend, even in a disappointing loss to the Rams, but he was not available for the Seahawks in this past game against the Cardinals, Corbin, and that's huge, because I do believe that he is going to be playing a critical factor, whether he's going to be lining up and just rushing the passer, or he's going to be playing that spy role. That's going to be big for Jamal Adams to be back. So it's going to be interesting. As you mentioned, it's a close turnaround. So the Seahawks are going to be hoping that they're going to be able to get many more players back. But the Arizona Cardinals are also struggling with some injuries. So to me, this is one of the reasons why I think that the Seahawks were as conservative as they were with some of their players this past week against the Rams, is that you were hoping that these players might be able to return to the field and be able to play here against the Cardinals, which is a team that, as you mentioned, Seattle already has lost earlier, and so you want to get this game back so that way if you are 7-3 at the end of this, that you are solely in first place in the NFC West.
Yeah, this is a critical game. You fall to 6-4 in this division. Obviously, it's not over. They would only be a game out, but if you lose both games to the Cardinals and you're swept by them, that's going to make it really difficult to capture a division title. Even if they win out, that would obviously put them in a really good position. But if the Cardinals have the same record, then the Seahawks are in trouble. Nonetheless, this is a big game. You mentioned Jamal Adams. He did injure his shoulder early in that game against the Rams on Sunday, but returned. There were questions about whether he was going to be ready to play. He is going to be suiting up on Thursday. He was listed as a full participant, even though he didn't have a practice yesterday. Teams were required to do that on Thursday games. You have to have an injury report. He's listed as a full participant as an estimate. So he's going to be playing this week. The couple injuries that are still in doubt: Ethan Posick, the center, has still not gotten out of concussion protocol. I don't see any way that he's going to be playing. His reserve, his replacement, Kyle Fuller, injured his ankle on Sunday, had a high ankle sprain that he gutted out through the game, and sounds like the Seahawks are just hoping that he's going to be able to gut through it again on Thursday night, because their insurance option is Jamarco Jones, who hasn't played any snaps at center in the NFL. They don't have the time to add somebody else to the roster either with COVID-19 restrictions and such a quick turnaround. So that is certainly a pressing issue, and the secondary is still problematic as well. Shaquille Griffin still dealing with a hamstring injury. I will be surprised if he's back this week. Same goes for Quentin Dunbar, who's rehabbing his knee that's been giving him problems for several weeks. They're going to probably wait him out a couple weeks with hopes that he can get past this knee issue that's bugged him all season long, and they can get him back for the final month, and he can play like he's capable of. So that leaves him in a tough spot in the secondary, probably going to have Trey Flowers and DJ Reed starting at the two cornerback spots again, but getting Carlos Hyde back would be a big deal. Tyler Lockett with his knee sprain, I think, is going to be fine and ready to go. We'll see, but day-to-day right now, I think he's going to play in this game, which would be huge, coming off a 200-yard game the first time the Seahawks played the Cardinals. But overall, I think this is more encouraging than it was a couple days ago. A few of these players maybe could have gone if there wasn't a Thursday night game, but the Seahawks, as you said, were holding out hope they could get a player or two back for this game against the Cardinals that they absolutely have to win if they want to get this NFC West championship and stay in the hunt for the top one or two seeds in the conference as well. Getting a fourth loss this early in the season would not be a good omen if those are your aspirations this season. When we come back in the second quarter, we're going to focus in on key matchups to watch in this rematch between the Seahawks and the Cardinals at CenturyLink Field. A little more streamlined than normal because it's a short week, so we're going to try to hit on a few offensive matchups for the Seahawks as well as matchups to watch when they're on defense. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Crushing it at work or attempting to beat that impossible boss level on the latest video game? Even in these uncertain times, everyone has to eat, so why not take advantage of DoorDash to get takeout from your favorite restaurant? If I'm craving pizza, which is basically every day, and my girlfriend is craving sushi, there's something for both of us on DoorDash. Ordering is quick and easy with the DoorDash app, allowing you to support your favorite restaurants safely. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or your favorite national restaurants like Papa Murphy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. If you're like me and can't wait to see Russell Wilson cook for the Seahawks this fall, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. We've got an abbreviated week here. Two games in 5 days. The Seahawks reeling after their second straight loss, third loss in four games on Sunday to the Rams. But they've got a chance to get their season back on track against the Cardinals, a team that's already beaten them earlier this year in Arizona, a game the Seahawks should have won. They were ahead for pretty much the entire game until the Cardinals rallied from 10 down late, took the game to overtime. Seattle had chances in overtime, but Russell Wilson got intercepted. Arizona ends up getting a game-winning field goal, and the Seahawks dropped their first game of the season. They've been in a slide ever since, so they have a chance to get the ship righted this week. Let's talk some key matchups. A little different than we normally do. Usually we have one quarter of the show for looking offense versus defense, and then we flip it the next quarter. With it being a short week, we're going to try to cram all this into a 15-minute quarter. So what is the first matchup when the Seahawks are on offense on Thursday that you are going to be watching closely in this game, Rob?
Well, I think that we have to go back to Russell Wilson. I mean, is he really an MVP factor? Is the receivers that he has, are they going to be able to go up against the Arizona secondary that I told you before the Seahawks lost that game against the Cardinals a couple of weeks ago, that I thought this was the best secondary in the entire NFC conference. And I do have a great deal of confidence that they will be able to do that. Now, if you go back to that loss, Corbin, against the Cardinals, then you know that Tyler Lockett was absolutely spectacular. I mean, he had 15 receptions for cool 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. And while that was spectacular, at the same time, DK Metcalf, on the other hand, was struggling. He only had 2 catches for 23 yards in this game. And that's kind of reminiscent of what we saw this past week, of course, when DK Metcalf was unable, or the Seahawks were unable, to get DK Metcalf kind of unleashed against against Jalen Ramsey, and so that to me is going to be one of the fascinating things about this game, and one of the real matchups that I think the Seahawks have to focus in on. As I mentioned before, the Arizona Cardinals have a really gifted secondary, whether it be Buda Baker, whether it be Byron Murphy, the former UW guys, Patrick Peterson, who in my opinion remains one of the elite cornerbacks in all of the NFL. This is a really talented secondary. But at the same time, if Russell Wilson is going to be successful, if Seattle's passing game is going to be successful, then they have to try to match up their wide receivers and really take advantage of the fact that Patrick Peterson, as big and strong as he is, that he is kind of known for taking some chances at times. That Byron Murphy, as talented as he is, that he doesn't have that elite straight line speed. That's one of the reasons why he dropped to the top of the second round rather than going as a first round pick. So it's going to be interesting to see if Seattle is able to match up their wide receivers. And this is not just DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. This is David Moore. This is, this is everybody else, Phillip Swain and everybody else, that the Seahawks need to get them a little bit more involved to be able to try to take advantage of an Arizona secondary that is really, really gifted at the starters, but doesn't have the depth that I think they can handle Seattle's extra wide receivers in this offense.
It is really hard to win 3 straight games against a team. And I think you can say the same thing when you're talking about elite players going against each other. DK Metcalf, Patrick Peterson has had his number the last 2 times that they have faced off against each other. I have a feeling, especially after being almost shut out by the Rams on Sunday, that Metcalf is going to have a big game on Thursday night. It's going to be one of those cases. I think Russell Wilson is going to take some of those chances, and you've got to. When you've got an elite talent like that in DK Metcalf, you can't just go entire halves without targeting him. And there were plays where he was open enough that Wilson should have been able to get the football to him. He just didn't take those chances. You can't do that against Patrick Peterson. You can't count on Tyler Lockett going off for 200 yards again, especially with him having a minor knee injury. I think he's going to play, but I think you have got to get the football to DK Metcalf and establish that early. And this is a secondary, as good as they are. Again, find me a corner that can go up against DK Metcalf from a physicality and size standpoint, and I'll point to a liar. There's just not a corner that can cover him that has that physique to go with the speed. It just isn't out there. And so let your unicorn make plays on offense. For me, the big matchup is in the backfield. I don't care who's back there. Obviously, they're hoping they can get Carlos Hyde and maybe Chris Carson back for this game, and it would be a big deal. Chris Carson ran really well against the Cardinals in that first matchup. Before he exited, he had 5 carries for over 30 yards. The Cardinals' run defense is suspect, in my opinion. I think their linebackers are solid. Jordan Hicks is one of the more underrated linebackers in football. That being said, I think you can run the ball down their throats, and this is something that the Seahawks have gotten away from with the injuries that they had in the backfield. And I'm not saying you need to go 50-50. You want Russell Wilson to throw the football, but there needs to be more of a semblance of a ground game in order to protect your quarterback. And so I'd like to see, even if Alex Collins ends up being your lead guy again on Thursday night, I thought Alex Collins ran the ball really well the other day. Let him be your bell cow and don't give up on that run game too much. I still think that this is an advantage for the Seahawks that they should be able to capitalize on with their running backs, with the linemen that they have in the trenches against that Cardinals front line and their linebackers. I think they can still run the ball effectively, and when you're playing at home, that's going to be a nice asset.
It absolutely is. And that's the thing, is that this is the last game that Chris Carson was able to play for the Seahawks. It's also the last game that Carlos Hyde was able to play for the Seahawks. So either way, if Seattle is able to get either one of their bell cows back, and then you mentioned Alex Collins, to me, either one of those or any one of those three running backs, those are your true bell cow guys. Those are the guys who have started in the NFL and who have been able to carry the mail for an NFL team in the past. And that's really what you need at this point, because I absolutely agree with you, Corbin. I really think that the running game is critical to Seattle's offense. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. With all due respect to Russell Wilson, that really is the way that Seattle kind of sets up their game. When I look at Seattle's backs, whether it be Carlos Hyde, whether it be Chris Carson, whether it be Alex Collins, either way, you're talking about guys who are bell cow backs who run downhill. And Arizona has great athleticism. They don't have great physicality, especially at the linebacker position. So I really think that is a way that you can kind of steal back the momentum in this game. I think it's easy to forget that Seattle scored four of the first five times in this game. And Arizona completely turned around the momentum by scoring five of the last six times in that last matchup, where the Seahawks, as you mentioned before, lost in overtime. So seize back that momentum by getting back to Seahawk football, and that is running the ball and establishing the line of scrimmage. And that is where you can kind of bully these Arizona Cardinals with the backs that you just mentioned. So to me, that is absolutely part of this equation for the Seahawks. But well, let's be real. I mean, this is going to come back down to Russell Wilson. Is he going to be able to, to kind of rally himself? And, you know, it was one of the things that was kind of talked about during the press conference today, is that Russell Wilson kind of just, you know, he continues to focus in on the positives. And this is a guy that has never had a three-game stretch. Nick Lee and I talked about this last week, that he had never had a two-game stretch like this. I just have a hard time believing, Corbin, that after the struggles that he's had these last 2 weeks against Buffalo, against the Arizona Cardinals and the Rams, that he is not going to be able to turn things around here, just because of the fact that this is really where it comes down to. You have to win this game, and Russell Wilson, you got to give him credit. When the lights shine brightest, that's when he has been at his absolute best.
Yeah, him versus Buda Baker, I think anytime these two teams get together, you got to highlight that, because we saw what happened when Buda Baker got his hands on the football the last time these teams met, and luckily for Seattle, they had a man in the name of DK Metcalf to chase him down, and ultimately the Cardinals didn't score any points there. That was a pivotal sequence in that game. Looking at the Seahawks defensively, I think that it starts and it ends with the matchup against Arizona's trio of receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk, and whatever the Seahawks are going to have in the secondary, we don't know at this point. Again, I'll be surprised if Shaquille Griffin or Quentin Dunbar plays on Thursday night, and that would mean that you've got Trey Flowers and probably DJ Reed for the second straight week as your outside corner is, and Ugo Amadi being in the slot. That is your secondary going up against the best receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins. Larry Fitzgerald is still a very capable player at this age, still a guy that can go off any given game. And Christian Kirk has really come on in his third season. And so they've got weapons galore. They've got a couple tight ends that gave the Seahawks fits in that first matchup. So this secondary, all eyes are going to be on those corners. Can they find a way to limit the big plays? They're going to get beat some. There's no question about it. Can you limit the explosives somehow? If they're able to do that, that is a win for Seattle's defense.
And that's the thing, is I think that they can, Corbin. I look at the Arizona Cardinals offense, and they have some absolutely phenomenal wide receivers. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is just spectacular. Larry Fitzgerald is a future Hall of Famer. I'm a big fan of Christian Kirk. There isn't one guy of those three that can run in the 4.4s. And so this is a very different receiving core than what you just faced in the Rams, what you just faced in the Buffalo Bills. You can play off these guys a little bit. You should be able to play a little bit of press and not have to worry about them going over the top with the same type of consistency that the last two different teams have been able to beat you on. So the positive momentum that was shown in Seattle being able to play a little bit of actually physical and and, you know, stopping the Rams down the stretch last game, hopefully you should be able to kind of continue that in this game. And to me, I have to focus in on Jamal Adams. He was not on the field for the Seahawks this past game against the Cardinals. And I really think it's interesting to see if the Seahawks are going to be able to use Jamal Adams as that spy in the middle to possibly be able to slow down Kyler Murray, if they're going to be able to use Adams in coverage as well. Either way, I still think that this is a game that Seattle is getting healthier and should be able to play better against Arizona's wide receivers than they did in that loss about a month ago.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Murray versus Adams, because there's another name I'm going to throw in there too. I think the more that I watch on film, it is time that the Seattle Seahawks unleash Jordan Brooks. This was a mailbag question yesterday, but now that I've gotten to go back and watch the film, he's so slippery, and the way that he can flatten out and then just pursue ball carriers, and the way he runs, we saw him run down Kyler Murray at the goal line after Metcalf caught Buda Baker in that first matchup, and he made a tackle for loss. You need that kind of athleticism on the field when you're playing a quarterback like Kyler Murray, and it's looking like the light switch is coming on for Jordan Brooks. And so I know a lot of people are going to say, well, let's play a lot of nickel defense. Well, if you're going to do that, then take KJ Wright out if you have to. I think you need Jordan Brooks' speed out there, not just to neutralize Murray's running ability, but he has shown some things in coverage as well. You just need the athleticism out there when you were playing against a versatile, dynamic threat like this. My wild card matchup to watch, I could talk about the Cardinals' run game. That is obviously very important when you play this team. You don't want them to be, you want to make them one-dimensional, like the Seahawks have been on offense the last few weeks, but I really think the wild card in this game, Rob, has to be adding Carlos Dunlap to the equation, because they did not have him the first time they played the Cardinals, and they got zero quarterback hits on Kyler Murray in that game, and they only had a couple of pressures against them. Now, part of it is you try to be conservative because you don't want to give him running lanes, but they absolutely have to turn up the heat on him a little bit. I think having a true Leo defensive end, an experienced guy like Carlos Dunlap, the Cardinals have a couple decent tackles, but I don't think Humphreys or Beecham, either one of them, is an elite talent. I think Dunlap can have a matchup advantage working against them and might be able to come up with a quarterback hit or two in this game against Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I think not only Carlos Dunlap, but I mentioned it before, Rasheem Green. I still believe that Rasheem Green can be a difference maker for the Seahawks. You talked about this yesterday, that Puna Ford is kind of coming into his own. I really think that this is an Arizona Cardinals offense that is pretty much Kyler Murray, and that's about it. And so as much as people want to kind of criticize the Seahawks and what Russell Wilson can do and how kind of one-dimensional Seattle can get, I mean, Arizona is as one-dimensional as it gets. And so you made the great point, Corbin. I mean, you don't necessarily want to be willing to be too aggressive and go after Kyler Murray, and he makes a guy miss, and then suddenly he's, running for yards downfield. And so you don't want to throw all your eggs in one basket and really pursue him aggressively. So I think that this really is incumbent on Seattle's defensive line, and Carlos Dunlap, Rasheem Green, again, being a huge part of it. They've got to win those one-on-one matchups. And your four defensive line against their four or their five offensive linemen, you have to win some of those matchups, because against the team that is as fast and as well coached as this one is, against Cliff Kingsbury's offense, I think he's an absolutely brilliant play caller, then you really have to protect the entire field. And so, again, I think that this is incumbent on Seattle's defensive line to be able to build upon those numbers. They absolutely have to have some quarterback hits. They have to have some quarterback sacks in this game, but they cannot do it using their linebackers and their safeties, because those guys have to cover against an offense this dynamic.
When we come back for the third quarter, that was an excellent lead-in to what we're going to be discussing here in the final 15 minutes. We are going to be breaking down a game plan for Seahawks victory. A few tips on offense, a few tips on defense. You had a couple there that are going to lead in very well with some of the discussions that we're going to have. When we come back, you're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As an avid runner and weightlifter, it's never easy to stay on top of your game. Whether I'm trying to increase my max on bench press or cut my best mile time by 10 seconds, there are always obstacles, and you have to find a way to power through them. What is your wall, and how do you run through it? For me, I turn to Built Go, the healthy replacement for your energy drink. Coming from the makers of Built Bar, you know it's top quality and delicious. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, it's the best workout gel on the market without the crash feeling you get from products such as 5-Hour Energy because it's all natural with 1/3 of the caffeine of a monster drink. Built Go comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Loaded with the good stuff to help me power to my goals, it includes fast-absorbing collagen protein, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to help me get going and promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. This is your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Rob Rang. We've got a critical NFC West rematch coming up on Thursday night at CenturyLink Field. The Seahawks hosting the Cardinals. Arizona won the first matchup back in Week 7, a 37-34 thriller in overtime. Cardinals hung on for the victory at home, a comeback victory at that. Seattle was dominating for a good portion of that contest, but fell apart late, and the Cardinals were able to take advantage. Let's talk a game plan for how the Seahawks can get some redemption on Thursday night against their bitter division rival. Let's start on the offensive side of the football. I think that you go into this game, especially an opponent that you know very well, and you've now played against Cliff Kingsbury for 3 games. Pete Carroll has a pretty good idea what the Cardinals are going to do. There's some new wrinkles that are added here and there, but you generally know what they are going to do on offense, and the same can be said for Vance Joseph's defense. And Pete Carroll had played against a Vance Joseph defense before he joined the Cardinals, so he's got plenty of experience going against Joseph over the years. For goodness sakes, you have got to stick with the running game. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say 50-50. That is not what balanced offense means to me. I think you can be a 75-25 team and have a balanced offense. You've got to have a semblance of a run game. There has to be something there that the opponent respects and has to account for. And quite frankly, Rob, the last 2 weeks, I don't think the Bills or Rams have cared at all. And the Seahawks panicked a bit when they've fallen behind. Even if they fall behind early in this game, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, Brian Schottenheimer and company, you got to keep running the football. I don't care if Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde don't play in this game. You have got to have some balance to your offense, and don't put your quarterback and your offensive line on an island against a Cardinals team that's one of the top 3 blitzing teams in the NFL. So don't give up on the ground game and lean on it a little bit if you have to, especially playing at home.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we want Brian Schottenheimer to be the Seahawks offensive coordinator and not suddenly morph into Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, who I thought made a brilliant, calculative, strategic decision in attacking Seattle's, poor secondary, absolutely last place secondary, and then completely abandoned the running game when the Buffalo Bills were able to beat the Seahawks. And I think that, Schottenheimer has to kind of go back to his roots. Whether it be, again, Carlos Hyde, whether it be Alex Collins, if the Seahawks are fortunate enough to get Chris Carson back, then the way to beat the Arizona Cardinals, a team that I think has, again, the best secondary in all the NFC, why challenge that? Why, or at least why make that your exclusive challenge? You want to be able to kind of push that defense, that defensive line, those linebackers that have a great deal of athleticism, but I still believe that you can run the football down their throats a little bit and then be able to set up the play action passing that really takes best advantage of what Russell Wilson does best, his incredible accuracy down the field, the incredible athleticism and size mismatches that is DK Metcalf, and the savviness that would be Tyler Lockett. And again, the improvement that we've seen from Freddie Swain and from David Moore so far this season. So to me, this still kind of comes down to don't give up on the running game. This is what you do. And if Seattle would have just kind of stuck to the script and how they were able to get a big lead on Arizona in Arizona, then they should be able to do the same thing in Seattle.
Yeah, I think the running game is key, and I think this is just Captain Obvious stating here, but when you have 7 turnovers the past 2 games, then that better be on your checklist of things that you need to do, because this is a Cardinals defense that is opportunistic. They've got some young playmakers that will go after the football, and they have some guys like Patrick Peterson. Even at his age, having been in the league for a while, he will take gambles trying to get interceptions. And so you want to take advantage of that aggressiveness, but at the same time, you don't want to turn the football over. And Russell Wilson had three critical interceptions, one of them being to Patrick Peterson in the end zone on a throw he never should have made. Again, we've seen way too many of those the last month and a half or so from Russell Wilson. He needs to play within himself. And if the throw is not there, then don't make it. And a lot of the time, he has room to run. Use your legs. And that might even be another thing that I touch on here real quick. I would like to see the Seahawks mix in some read option where Russell Wilson has a chance to keep the football on designed runs. It seems like a lot of his yards this year has been from extending pass plays. I still think, even at his age, he's still an athletic enough quarterback that teams have to account for him. When you add that wrinkle in there, it helps your running backs out, and it helps your passing game.
It does help your passing game, and I think that that's always a good strategy, is to be able to kind of build off of the offense that you've already shown. I mean, Russell Wilson is not the elite, make-you-miss type of athlete that he once was when he was coming out of Wisconsin, but at the same time, he has such incredible spatial awareness that I think that is absolutely something that Seattle should be looking to do. To me, the other thing that you really have to kind of look at is that you have to kind of just learn to attack the blitz. I mean, Arizona is a very aggressive defense. They are going to attack you at times. And so Seattle has to be willing to be able to kind of throw the ball into, not necessarily in the coverage, but to me, it's kind of reliant on Russell Wilson being able to recognize what's going on at the line of scrimmage and be able to make some adjustments. And so given the way that the Arizona likes to blitz, they sometimes will send their linebackers, their safeties, even their cornerbacks. You have to be able to kind of recognize that. There has to be some communication before the snap between your receivers to be able you've heard the term hot routes. The Seahawks have to be able to take their hot routes. If you're going to cook, then you have to use some heat. And so you have to be able to recognize that and be able to take advantage of that, because what the Seahawks do have is in Tyler Lockett, in DK Metcalf, and certainly in David Moore and Freddie Swain, you have a collection of wide receivers who are all 4-4 guys. If they can make one guy miss, then they can take it to the house. And that's what the Seahawks really are lacking right now. They are lacking the big plays on offense, at least in their losses, and they are giving up the big plays on defense in absolute and drones. And so they have to be able to kind of turn around that momentum, and I think that they can do that in this particular game.
Hot routes are key. Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll was talking about this yesterday morning. That has been an area that he's been struggling a little bit. Get the football out to your hot route. And I also think yellow plays, and what I mean by that, your screens, your bubble screens, your running back screens, even tight end screens. Get it, maybe mix in a draw play here and there. I know people get nightmares about when Mike Holmgren used to call draw plays on 3rd and 18 consistently, but the draw can be a very effective play. If they are going to be sending 5, 6, 7 guys after Russell Wilson, then bring some plays that are going to counter those blitzes. Other teams are doing it to the Seahawks defense at will. Why can't the Seahawks do it? I think Brian Schottenheimer, that's something that he absolutely has to do this week. You've got to mix in some of those caution plays that are going to end up burning a defense if they bring the blitz too frequently, get too aggressive, sending extra rushers on defense. To me, this game ultimately comes down to what happens on the defensive side of the football. Can you get enough stops? I have to believe that last week was an aberration for the Seahawks offense. This has been the best offense in football all year long. They just hit a rut against the Rams. You have to believe they're going to bounce back against a team that they had success against the first time they played them. Second half was not as good, but they scored a lot of points in the first two quarters of that game. The defense, number one key. You cannot let the outside run game play into the screens and the wide horizontal passing game for the Cardinals, because as you were mentioning, as good as their receivers are, they don't really have a true burner. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously a downfield threat, but they don't have a true burner that is going to consistently take the top off of defenses, and they get a lot of yardage with those quick bubble screens and that horizontal game. And as KJ Wright mentioned before the first matchup, that comes down to feeding off what the run game does, especially when they start mixing in RPOs and read options. If you're able to slow down Kenyon Drake and the other running back, Chase Edmonds, who had some big plays against the Seahawks the first time, and then you were able to keep guys in front of you in a screen game, that is really a big part of the Cardinals' offense. If you can take those away, I still think you can force Kyler Murray into making some difficult throws, and you can create some turnovers on those downfield pass plays.
I think you can. That's the thing. And I want to be clear. I mean, the Cardinals have a guy who can run. I mean, Andy Isabella is one of the guys who can absolutely just fly. The Cardinals haven't used him. And Kyler Murray can absolutely fly. That's the thing. If your quarterback can run a 4-3, you don't have to throw the ball to a wide receiver who runs a 4-5-5. But so I do want to certainly acknowledge that the Cardinals have a great deal of offensive talent. But at the same time, I really believe that their offensive line is a relative weakness. And Seattle's kind of refurbished and recharged defensive line should be able to create more pressure in this game than they did earlier. I think that Seattle's linebackers have the speed, including Jordan Brooks, who I think that you correctly highlighted earlier, should be able to have a pretty big impact in this game. And so I think that that's important. But to me, this is a game about where Seattle cannot get too aggressive. If you try to send the house towards Kyler Murray, even being a second-year quarterback, then he is anticipating better. And he does have that straight-line speed that if he's able to make somebody miss, then he really can just absolutely wreak havoc on your defense. So to me, what this is all about is that you may just made the big move for Carlos Dunlap. You have Rasheem Green back. Use those long arms and be able to potentially tip a pass to one of your linebackers, be able to get a pick six. Because again, this is a team that's very good in the Arizona Cardinals, but this is the team that you were beating. And you weren't just beating them. You're up 20-7 on that team in their house. Finish. That's what you did not do against the Buffalo Bills. That's what you did not do against the Los Angeles Rams. As spectacular as the Rams were, give them credit. The Rams were a unique offense, or a unique defense, excuse me. They have Aaron Donald. The Cardinals do not. The Buffalo Bills were unique. And if they had Josh Allen, his big arm, they had the straight line speed on the outside, the Arizona Cardinals do not. What the Arizona Cardinals have is they have a terrific secondary, so beat the other team, not their secondary, run the ball down their throat and mitigate the explosive factor that they have with Kyler Murray. You have some of the speediest linebackers in the NFL. Allow them to play, just like we talked about before with DK Metcalf. Allow him to compete. If the Seahawks compete in this game, Corbin, I think they win.
And it's interesting you're mentioning the blitz, because that's something that I had highlighted here too. We're seeing the Seahawks much more reliant on that because the front line has struggled. But it seems like that front four has picked things up the last couple weeks. This is a game where you better pick and choose when to blitz, not just because of how effective the Cardinals are with their screen game, but as you mentioned, if Kyler Murray ends up evading those blitzers and now he's got a bunch of running room in front of him, he's a quarterback that can take it to the house. He's got explosive speed and quickness. He gets open field. He's very difficult to bring down. And so they're going to have to be cautious with that. And you mentioned the run game on offense. The big reason that I mentioned that as well is that with the way the Seahawks secondary is constructed right now, with the injuries that they've got and the receivers that the Cardinals have, they might not have, away from Isabella, a guy that's going to run a 4-3, but they've got a very good collection of receivers there against a secondary that's got a bunch of injuries, has been very suspect, even when they've had their starters this year. You don't want that defense to spend too much time on the field in this game. And so, long drives, get that football running a little bit. You still are going to be aggressive with your passing game. Get Metcalf involved early. If they're able to do that, we saw the success they had the first matchup. And on defense, if they're able to tackle a little better, that was really the biggest issue the first time they played, is the tackling was a bit shoddy in that game. They gave up a few explosive plays downfield. You can keep those receivers in front of you. I still think you can make Kyler Murray makes some mistakes. We saw it in the first matchup when Quandre Diggs picked him off on an errant throw. Sometimes his mechanics end up eluding him a little bit, and if you are able to force him to beat you with those downfield throws, he's going to connect on some of them, but I still think that that is the biggest area that he has to improve. The Seahawks have to force him into those plays. They do so. I like their chances too. I'll be dishing my prediction coming up tomorrow on our crossover show, but I absolutely think this is going to be a thrilling contest. There's plenty more to talk about here in the next few days before they finally play on Thursday night. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. As I just mentioned a moment ago, coming up on Wednesday, it's going to be our crossover edition show for the week. I will be joining Alex Clancy and Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals for the second time this year. We're going to break down this Week 11 Thursday night matchup. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Go Hawks.